This is Brenda Broom Kruko. And yesterday, as I was sharing, we were talking about prayer and being one in Christ, the John 17 prayer, the last prayer that Jesus shared as he was getting ready to fulfill the ultimate, his life, his death, going into hell, being resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, going into heaven, presenting his blood. He's doing the new covenant prayer, his love, his blood, his glory, and that his prayer was to be one together, working with his body, with his church. And that was his last prayer. And that what is so interesting, his last command was after he was resurrected and presented his blood to the Father, he came back and he, for 40 days off and on, showed himself. And his last command was, don't leave until you receive this Spirit, my Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem. So it's very interesting how it's all connected and how we are, through his Holy Spirit, we are one in him. And that the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, but he speaks of Jesus. He speaks of God, and he reveals Jesus to his church. He reveals his thoughts. He reveals what his heart. He reveals those things that are important to him. And we are to work as one in him through his body. And he does this in a corporate, of course, his whole body. But then he does it on the smallest, his children. Each individual in the body of Christ has a special part that is of him. In fact, I didn't share this when I first shared how this revelation, how God made this real to me through his Spirit of being one in Christ. But as I was one, I was praying. Long story short, and I was praying and I became conscious of Christ praying through me, and that because he was a prayer, I was a prayer. Because he loved prayer, Israel, I loved Israel. Because he loved people, I loved people. But I didn't share this part. I became aware of my part in him, and I became, it was like I didn't have any mental blocks of my part in him. Of course, it was in the Spirit, but they're in the Spirit. There are no mental blocks. And I knew that in my life, I always had a kind of a Spirit edge to it. I knew I had tried to teach prayer like my mother taught prayer. And my mother is an excellent teacher. In fact, she can express thought, the Bible, and the knowledge that comes from her lips is, we all know it's God that has enabled her to retain this and to put it out there with such an anointing. But he let me know that everyone has a pair of shoes, so to speak, in the Spirit that they wear, and that I was not comfortable. I could see myself not comfortable wearing those shoes because I would try when I taught prayer on Sunday to wear her shoes, those kind of shoes, and I would stumble around in them, and it would be almost like just trying to do something and you're not supposed to do it. It's just like Brother Hagin says, you know, washing your feet with your socks on. And so, but he showed me how I was to operate in this prayer, and how the Holy Spirit's been kind of leading me through the high priest and his roles and the roles of Jesus and his next role. And how I was working with him for some time now. And he let me know that was because that is my part to share to Prayer Mountain and to operate in the Spirit. And so since I have been doing that, fulfilling my part, I have noticed that I have been much more successful in the body of Christ and all to the glory of God. So he's happy. I'm fulfilling that which he has called me to do. But I say that for you, as your part in him, and he has made each one of us different. Each one of us has different pair of shoes, a different part to play, and it's vital in the body. It's vital that we find our place, one in Him and Him in us, and that we meditate on those scriptures, and we meditate who He is, He will begin to show you. You will see things as you meditate in these scriptures and you walk in this place in Him. And so just as there are different, everyone has their own DNA in their natural bodies, how much more in the body of Christ does each part have their own DNA code to Him? Remember, the body, the flesh, did not make the spirit, but the spirit, the body. And so you just think about how He chose the natural body, for us to our earth suits, but how He spoke of it as the church. And so just think how important it is that you find your DNA code in Him, and that it's not separate from Him, but it's one in Him, and that you fulfill that together through by the Holy Spirit as one. And so I just encourage you. You might be a mom with kids, and you're like, what can I do for the Lord? Well, He will show you, and you will operate in this. And what's so interesting is some of the things you're already doing is that He will connect the dots. You will say, oh, I love to make cakes, and He will show you, and you will operate in that to maybe bring a cake to someone who's at your church who, no one doesn't have family and no one to celebrate their birthday or something. And you will walk in those little things, but they mean so much to the heart of God. They're huge to Him because they are all acts of His heart. One in Him and Him in us, His love. And all of this is from the heart of God, which is His love. It says in the Bible that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And so it is us learning how to operate in Him, in His love as one. As I stopped yesterday, I was talking about Philippians 3:10. About that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And so I want to kind of pick up a little bit about that on that right now. And I want to read from Reese Howe's books, The Principles of Intercession. And this book, we are trying to see if we can get it at our bookstore. We don't have it right now, but we... I've made a call into Julie, and she's going to see if she can find this book. So hopefully I'll know before too long. But if not, we have another book by Reese Howes and on intercession that I recommend to you. But going on that, this woman, she worked, her name was Doris M. Rusco, R-U-S-C-O-E, and she was went to his school. And she was part of his prayer group. And she, the way she writes, she writes kind of like a secretary, point one, point two, point three, which is really handy. And she wrote his principles, some principles of his, of Reese Howes of intercession. And, Reese Howes was the one who, he had a Bible college in Wales. And the Second World War, he declared... that they had to make a deep spiritual commitment of intercession to take them through the dark days ahead, and that their declarations of prayer were not enough, that they had to go into a deeper intercession. And then in that book, he talks about how the Holy Spirit prayed through him to bend Hitler and things along that line. Saying all that, here are his principles of intercession, and this is... from the intercession of Reese Howes. Number one, the most fundamental of all intercession is the principle that intercession is based on the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in His atoning death and resurrection, that I may know Him. That's His love. and the power of his resurrection. That's a victory. When the enemy contests a situation, remember the enemy is contesting everything here on the earth. He's the God of this world. Whatever may be the assault upon the intercessor, the victory will ultimately come through faith in the supreme sacrifice and glorious triumph of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rees House used to say that as the Holy Spirit is the only actual witness on earth today of Calvary and the resurrection, he therefore is the only person who can guide the intercessor along the path leading to victory. He also maintained that fundamentally there are only two intercessors, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this is Hebrews 7:25. Here's the intercessor of the Jesus Christ. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the utmost that come unto him, God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That's Jesus in the high priest role, Hebrews 7, verse 25. And here is the Holy Spirit, the avenue to us, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God. I wanted to share this about the intercession. It becomes abundantly clear that the path of the intercession is the way of the cross, but it is also the way of fellowship with Christ on a very deep level. Calvary was the supreme sacrifice of love, and fellowship with the Lord in prayer, in intercession. And this is really so true, leads to an ever deepening realization of entering into this love. Let me just say that again. It becomes abundantly clear that the path of the intercessor is the way of the cross, but it is also the way of fellowship with Christ on a very deep level. Calvary was a supreme sacrifice of love. And the fellowship with the Lord in intercession, in this love, leads to an ever deepening realization of entering into this love. Without love, as the Apostle Paul states in 1 Corinthians verse chapter 13, it profits nothing. The intercessor has the sentence of death, but as the dealings of the Holy Spirit are accepted, and the intercessor as they're praying for whoever, that person has a sentence of death. Let's say to someone going to hell. Well, I see the time is kind of winding down, so we'll kind of pick up on this tomorrow. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Shalom, shalom.